Hello, I'm Terrence McNally, and welcome to today's podcast. Okay, here's a quote. The major problems in the world are the result of the difference between how nature works and the way people think. And those are the words of the great and late Gregory Bateson, and I couldn't agree more. In the next half of the show, I'm going to be joined by Nora Bateson to talk about the documentary An Ecology of Mind, subtitled A Daughter's Portrait of Gregory Bateson. It tells us about the unique anthropologist, philosopher, author, naturalist, systems theorist, who I believe was ahead of his time in seeing that reality is made up not of things or even of ideas, but of relationships. The relationships among things, elements, ideas, movements, thoughts, you name it. It's about the relationships. Nora's film will introduce Bateson to a new generation and remind many of us, myself included, of the impact her father had in the 60s and 70s on the way a lot of people perceive the world. As I watched the documentary, I just kept going, oh, that is the way I see things. And Bateson was one of the first people to articulate it. The film features interviews with California Governor Jerry Brown, physicist and systems theorist Fritjof Capra, Whole Earth Catalog creator Stuart Brand, and Nora's sister, the anthropologist Mary Catherine Bateson. Nora Bateson is a media producer and educator. Her work includes documentaries, multimedia productions, magazine columns, and developing curriculum for elementary and high school students. Welcome, Nora Bateson.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
I like listeners to get a feel for the people behind the work and the ideas that we talk about. So could you talk briefly about your path to the work that you do today, not just this film, but whatever you consider your wider work, and feel free to cite mentors or turning points?
Okay. Well, that's an interesting question. Sometimes people ask me, when did I start making this film? And I think the only really honest answer that I can give to that is probably the day I was born. Because my work is really about something that I saw in my dad's work, but also that I've seen in other people's work. Some are artists, some are scientists, some are mathematicians, authors, et cetera. And that is that the world that we live in is an integrated system within system within systems, sort of complex and elaborate set of variables. And there are ways in which you can study that are stupefying and paralyzing, and ways in which you can engage and study it that are inspiring and beautiful. So I'm shooting for the latter because I've certainly been around enough of the former to know that it doesn't get you anywhere. And my work is based in storytelling, certainly. I started off in photography in college and eventually started wanting my pictures to move and to tell stories, and then I realized that there's a word for that. That's film. So I moved to filmmaking, and one of the reasons that I moved into filmmaking and the arts was that I really couldn't get any anonymity anywhere else. My father's work touched a lot of different disciplines, and because of that, whenever I entered them as a beginning student, you know, intro to psychology, intro to anthropology, intro to any number of things, I felt I wasn't really given permission to be at the beginning, that his name preceded me and that there wasn't space for me to find my own path. And
to some extent, let me cut in for a second, Nora Bateson.
Yeah.
It's interesting as you're saying that, of course, I'm thinking, and the project we're talking about is about your father. So there obviously is an arc of story for Nora Bateson here between having to get out from the shadow of to be a beginner, and then at some point saying, you know what, I'm at that point where I can devote my work to my father and not worry about that?
You know, and that's the interesting question right there, because it was a task, and it was an enormous, not only personal achievement, but also an incredible education for me. And what happened was that after this period of rebellion, which I really unsuccessfully endeavored, right? I thought I was going to rebel by studying film. And then when I graduated college, I found myself in Southeast Asia making documentary films, which is exactly where my dad started.
That's right. And for people who don't know that, as a young anthropologist, joined Margaret Mead. Did they know each other when they ended up in the Far East?
Actually met in New Guinea.
They met in New Guinea and worked together, eventually married, eventually unmarried. But their work together was a really important step for both of them.
And it was some of the pioneer documentary work that was ever done in Southeast Asia. So then I realized, oh, I guess I'm a salmon. I've completely followed my own roots right back upstream where I came from. And still I rebelled. And then several years later, my sister said to me, you know, we need some audiovisual on Daddy because there's this centennial, and would you be willing to do something? And I innocently said, sure, thinking I could just knock it together, pull a couple of videos of lectures, and just find something that worked. And what happened was when I did that, I found that the material was not only wonderfully interesting and rich, but also really relevant. And I was already a filmmaker, and I thought, okay, well, this is the film I have to make. And then I found that I was in this strange thing that we call a lineage. And was I then going to carry the torch? Was I going to be the next in line to carry the mantle of my dad's work? And you know what I found out about that, which is an interesting metaphor for evolution, is that this word lineage is a misnomer because that process is not actually linear.
Mm-hmm.
And that evolution itself has to do with the context and the way in which information and relationships and communication develops between people, between organisms, within an environment. And that it isn't actually about the individual. So the story that I'm telling about my father is my story. And the way in which I portray him is an evolution to the way that he portrayed himself, if that makes any sense. The reflection is part of the context of today's rhetoric in today's world from younger generation looking back at the older generation, but through my eyes, through my lens, if you will.
Yeah, there's a quote that I have of yours, which I have made an ecology of mine to illuminate the dynamic interrelationships of life at all levels, global politics, biology, communication, evolution, and culture, told through the relationship between father and daughter. And one thing you talk about your father was that he was, he excelled at zooming in and zooming out, which as a filmmaker is an interesting metaphor, but that he could from one moment see the tiniest interaction between an insect and a plant, and in the next moment, you know, the city around it and so on. And so obviously what you're talking about, global politics and the relationship between father and daughter, zooming in and zooming out. I'm Terrence McNally. I'm speaking with Nora Bateson about the wonderful documentary, An Ecology of Mind, that she's made about her father, the late Gregory Bateson. And you can learn more at An Ecology of Mind, A-N-E-C-O-L-O-G-Y, An Ecology of Mind, one word, .com. And what I'd like to do right now, Nora, is play the trailer for the film. And that will give people just a little taste of it. It lasts a little over 2 minutes, listeners. You will hear several voices, and this is who you'll hear. You'll hear Nora Bateson, Governor Jerry Brown, Fritjof Capra, Stuart Brand, Mary Catherine Bateson, Nora's older sister, and finally, the last voice will be Gregory Bateson himself.
He was always learning. from everyone and everything around him. As a child, I learned from him that learning never stops.
Gregory Bateson challenged us to rethink or to stand back and try to perceive in a different way, to see how reality is actually operating.
He was interested in larger patterns. He was interested in how things are connected, and especially how living things are connected.
Gregory said, "The major problems in the world are the result of the difference between how nature works and the way people think." What does it even mean to change the way we think?
And he asked the question, what is there about our way of perceiving that makes us not see the delicate interdependencies in an ecological system that give it its integrity? We don't see them, and therefore we break them.
You have a system, and when you poke it here instead of something happening there, it happens that way, or in a barely recognizable dimension, and that's because it's a very complex system.
The nature of the world in which I live, and in which I wish you lived, all of you, and all the time, but even I don't live in it all the time. There are times when I catch myself believing that there is such a thing as something which is separate from something else.
Okay, so that is the trailer to the documentary, An Ecology of Mind, a daughter's portrait of Gregory Bateson. Nora, how can people get this DVD?
The DVD is mostly available right now for institutional use through Bullfrog Films, and that means that you can buy an expensive copy to show in group formats for classes and things like that. And it'll be available to the general public later on. But I don't think it's in the too distant future.
Okay.
Bullfrog Films is the distributor.
So Bullfrog Films is the distributor, and if they want to stay abreast of when it might be more widely available, they could also go to anecologyofmind.com.
That's right. And the Facebook site also, which is just An Ecology of Mind, is another probably more useful version, because it's easier for me to get the information up there. And so that's generally the most current.
Because it's easier for you to update, right?
That's right.
Right. Okay. So and that would just be An Ecology of Mind in Facebook, right?
That's right.
Okay. Very good. Anything you want to say about what we just heard in the trailer?
Well, I guess I would love to go. The other is one thing. I love what my sister says in that about how the world is made of delicate interdependencies that we don't see. And because we don't see them, we tend to break them. And I think that's a really important and generous statement. It gives us a little bit of room to grow into and to say, well, okay, now how can we begin to look at those interdependencies? How can we begin to have that be part of our perception when so much of our cultural understanding and the sort of the seductiveness of linear causality in our education and everything else pushes us to see not the relationships or the communication within the relationships, but instead the things. One of the examples in the film is to look at your hand and to notice that you've been trained to see five fingers, when in fact what's important in the biological framework of that is that there are four spaces that articulate what the possibilities of those four fingers actually are. Otherwise, if you put them all together, you have a paddle, right?
Yeah. Or that whole thing about the opposable thumb, right?
That's right.
If you're just counting digits, that opposable doesn't matter.
That's right. And it becomes about you know, in all forms of life, whether you're talking about a pond or a school or a nation or even our geopolitical system, what you're really talking about is the interrelationships that hold it together. Interrelationships actually define whatever the things are, whether they're people or, you know, trees in a rainforest or insects or different kinds of algae in a pond. They're in an interrelationship, and that's what gives it its integrity. And so how can we learn to see that integrity so we don't squash it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the one note I took while listening to the trailer was exactly that quote, your sister's quote. Because, as you say, and I want to go back to one thing you said, which you said it was, did you say forgiving?
Generous.
And what I think you meant was that it's not because we are evil that we make some of these mistakes. It's that our perception, for whatever reasons, as so much influenced by culture, focuses on the separate things rather than the intangible, invisible, but so influential relationships.
Right, which means that to move through to another level of being able to perceive, we don't have to first deal with the fact that we're evil, because
right.
We're not.
Right.
Which, I know that sounds trivial, but actually it's a huge step to be benevolent to begin with and just sort of work toward another level of perception.
Yeah, there's a great quote which is in the film by your father, in which he points out that the world of separate disciplines and fields of study in which one is tested on true or false quizzes has nothing to do with the way the world actually is. And as we know, academia, government policy, all of these sorts of things tries so much to handle reality through separation and silos and analysis, which, as it turns out, are crude and often unhelpful tools for seamless existence. Now, is that one of the reasons, and I assume it is, that your father studied and worked in so many different fields?
It is exactly that. And I think it's really relevant right now. I've been traveling with this film for the last year in all parts of the world. And interestingly, all the different groups of people who have been influenced by his work have sort of in one pocket or another brought me in to do talks or seminars. And what I've found as I've gone from designers in Berlin, anthropologists in Brazil, to actually Sardinian architects in Glasgow, that was a good one, family therapists in Rome, etc., is that the silos that you were talking about a second ago, those silos are full. That in each discipline, what I'm seeing is, as this sort of privileged tour, as an interloper through all these different disciplines, which really most people don't get to do. It's been an incredible opportunity for me. Is that they're full, that everyone is wondering how to bring their discipline, their field of knowledge, to the next level. And the next level is really about integration. It's about the fact that you can't look at ecology without looking at culture and psychology and education and the way that food is grown and the way, you know, there is no place that you can look that is not connected to everything, that isn't in relationship, and that integrity isn't there in the relationship. And so the question of where do we go from here, I think, really starts with how do we start to generate rhetoric and context for studying and sharing ideas in an integrated way, because our disciplines are blocked from each other, and they just are.
Yeah, in other words, people build higher and higher towers, or they burrow deeper and deeper into a field, but in fact there's an initial error at the beginning of those journeys.
Exactly.
Which means no matter how far you go and how good you are at it, if you are staying in that adopted reality of separation, you're not in sync with what you're actually trying to deal with.
That's right, and that's where that quote comes from that you began with, which is the major problems in the world are the difference between the way nature works and the way people think.
And I mean that to me is the you know, if there were a bumper sticker for all of what I've learned in preparing for this interview and going back and looking at the documentary and rereading some of Gregory Bateson, and it's that one. As you were talking, I was thinking biomimicry, which is beginning to blossom and grow as a field of design, as a field of exploration. If you're not aware of it, I did a show a few weeks ago on the Wyss Institute for Biologically Inspired Engineering at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not aware of it, check it out. It's WYSS. What is remarkable about it is, one, that they are doing biologically inspired engineering. They are looking at what nature does and then seeing how could we do that as well. But the other thing is, the largest single gift to Harvard was to set up this institute. I like that. And mm-hmm. second, that in the formation of it, it is the biology department, the engineering department, the design department, the business school, the economics department. It is the most interdisciplinary and brought in actually a lot of young corporate startup types as well, because the notion was, let's get what we're doing and get it out there. To me, that the most, you know, established academic institution in this country, at least Harvard, is doing that is a good sign.
I think that is a good sign, and I think it's, you know, the thing is that while we learn to, if you will, apprentice from nature, which is, I think, a term that comes from Schumacher, that there's something else at hand, which is to be careful that we don't just use that knowledge to further our sort of consumer habits.
Exactly, because that would be missing the deeper lesson of nature.
That's right.
Which is that
That's
there is no waste, which is everything exists in relationship to other things, and that there is no such thing as side effects. Everything is a consequence of the way things are interdependent.
And if things are interdependent and in interrelationship, what does it actually mean to own something? And I think that's a really important question, because you know, we get into objectification, and you know, really what that is looking at things as objects, which is the opposite of looking at the relationships and the kind of communication that takes place in those relationships.
Yeah,
you know, the thing about objectification is it's just one teeny tiny step away from exploitation.
Ah, very good. You do have a quote there from, and we're going to have to close this, but you have, when Jerry Brown is speaking, he says, he talks about, we now find ourselves in a situation of social inequality. The proposed solution is to grow the economy. However, the result of growing the economy is more inequality. The rich get richer. Somehow we must break out of the level of consciousness that contains this contradiction. I again, find it good that someone who actually holds an influential position, such as governor of California, is willing to think that way. But I think we are at the beginning, or the early chapters of this new discovery that your father, this new way of seeing the world and interacting with it, that your father, I think, was one of the initial explorers. We've got to bring the conversation to a close, and the film, again, is An Ecology of Mind, about the late Gregory Bateson. To learn more, go to anecologyofmind.com or go to An Ecology of Mind on Facebook. You can listen to this week's conversations and many others anytime during the week by linking to the podcast. You can sign up to have it delivered to you weekly. For podcast articles and transcripts of interviews, you can join me in pursuit of a world that just might work. You can go to terrencemcnally.net. Or aworldthatjustmightwork.com. That's TERRENCE mcnally.net or worldthatjustmightwork.com. They're the same website. You can sign up at the website or at iTunes to get a podcast delivered to you weekly, or find podcasts that go back years in the past. They're at both sites. Finally, thank you to Nora Bateson. Keep up the good work.